Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Happy birthday! Yay! Go us, go you, go God. It's an exciting day. Seven years. We're kind of moving out of toddler stage and we're moving into whatever the next stage after toddler is, childhood or something. We're very excited that we've actually made it this far, and we can only make it thus far because of God's grace, and he's the one that has basically made all this happen and enabled us to be able to do what we do. And then, of course, he provides us with amazing people, which is you. So feel free to pat yourself on the back, turn to the person next to you and say, well done, go you. Can we get the house lights on? Is that possible, please, just to get the lights on, just so I can see people's faces? That would be great. Throughout this message, I'm hoping to honour a number of people, but words truly can't express. Ah, there we go. I can see you. That's better. Words can't truly express, on behalf of Nat myself, just how much we appreciate and want to thank people for being on this journey with us. And it's incredibly humbling that people would want to jump on board and be a part of a church and just try to make a difference in this crazy world we live in and love. And we just really appreciate, and that I don't want to start singling people out. There may be a part of my sermon where I might do a little bit of that, but turn to the person next to you and tell them or say to them, we're going to talk about that tree. What tree, you ask? We're going to talk about that tree. That tree. I mean, when was the last time you climbed a tree? Did anyone climb a tree yesterday? No? Has anyone tried to go on monkey bars lately? You know, kind of when you're a kid, like you fly across those things, like you'd go two or three at a time and fly. If you haven't been on monkey bars for a while, you should try it, seriously. If you don't dislocate your shoulder, like you're kind of like, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm the only one, but like it's just so different when you get older. But I'm not talking about monkey bars today. I want to talk about trees. Trees are great. I don't know what you were like as a kid, but I used to love climbing up trees and hanging out in trees and building tree houses. And I thought I could fly a few times and jump out of the tree, and that did not end well. But, you know, trees are quite amazing things. We just had a tree, the council planted a tree in our nature strip recently, and they were very nice to provide us with a bucket so we can water it and nurture and look after this tree. But I'm not talking about that tree today, and I'm not talking about the tree that you climb when you were growing up. I want to talk about a different tree. So if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Luke in chapter 19. Have a look at Luke. We have this game that we play as a family. It's called Jacaranda. And when the jacarandas are in flower with their purple flowers, it's a competition to see who can see the jacarandas first and the quickest and clock up enough points. But I'm not talking about jacarandas today. I'm talking about another kind of tree, which we're about to read about. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through to 10. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. So Jesus is on his way somewhere. And in the Bible, you'll notice there's quite so many occasions when Jesus is actually on his way to somewhere. He's got somewhere, a destination in mind, but there are interruptions, and we would call them these days inconveniences, but there are quite amazing things happen when interruptions take place in Jesus' life. And we're going to take a look at one of those today. Verse 2, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Who says Zacchaeus? Anyone? Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus? You're not helping me out. This is not helping. Today it's going to be Zacchaeus. It might change as I'm going through. But there was a man named Zacchaeus. So you are listening. Just checking. Man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector for the ATO, and he was rich. He was very wealthy. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not. Turn the person next to you and say, but could not. Because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to Zacchaeus, "Hey, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So Zacchaeus made haste and came down, and Zacchaeus received Jesus, received him joyfully. But when they saw it, this is the people standing around, they all complained and muttered. Isn't that a good word? Muttered. Just muttered. Some people here just mutter, especially when I'm preaching. "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." In this particular time, that was a custom that was required of somebody, that if they took something that did not stole and they were caught with it, their possession, normally it related to ox and sheep. But Zacchaeus is here saying, "Hey, I fulfill the requirements of the law, the expectation, and I don't just give back, I give back fourfold if I become aware that I've done the wrong thing by them." In verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I want to talk about that tree. I want to talk about the tree in this story. Before we do that, let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we get to hang out like this morning. We thank you, Father, that we get to celebrate 7 years of your goodness, your faithfulness. Lord God, that we come together today, not just to listen to great music, which it was just amazing. We thank you for that. And Lord, we want to come and we want to have an encounter with you. We just want to hear from you, the creator of the universe and everything in it. God, you are a God who speaks. You're a God who wants to guide and lead us. You're a God who wants to come and be a part of our lives in an intimate, real, personal way. So right now, I just pray in this place that every thought would be held captive by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we'd have ears to hear and eyes to see what it is that you want to show us and what you want to say to us. My words are useless and pointless unless they're anointed by you, Holy Spirit. So I pray that in this moment of time that we've got, in the next short little while, that you, Holy Spirit, would come. You'd do something supernatural with the words that come out of my mouth, so that by the time it hits the ears of each person hearing, that God, you would do something deep within our heart and core that would leave us changed for the better. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said? Amen. So Jesus is passing through Jericho. He's on his way somewhere. And then we see the introduction of a character, this guy named Zacchaeus. And we're told a little bit about Zacchaeus. We're told that Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. And now, in the day, tax collectors were not well liked. In fact, they were hated. They weren't, and especially a chief tax collector, he was like, wasn't just scum. He was the scum on the belly of the worm. He was that low. People just had no respect for the tax collector and the chief tax collector, because basically the insinuation was that guys like him made their wealth through corrupt means and ways, that they would take advantage of people. He would have a whole bunch of tax collectors under him, and he would be skimming money off the top, and that they would be taking money off the poor under the guise of being taxes. And so this guy had accumulated so much wealth, and people just despised and hated him. So he was a chief tax collector. Incredibly wealthy, to the point that because of his profession and his job, that he wasn't even allowed to go to the synagogue. That's how badly this guy was actually perceived by the community. So it wasn't kind of necessarily a pleasant life for Zacchaeus, although he was enjoying the produce and the fruit of his labors. And so we see here he's a chief tax collector, and he's very, very wealthy. And it's interesting that Jesus, in the previous chapter in Luke, actually talks about how difficult it is for a wealthy person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And yet Jesus at the same time actually says, yes, it may look impossible, but to God nothing is impossible. And so Jesus, but yet here we have this story where actually Jesus has an actual personal encounter and interaction with this very wealthy man, Zacchaeus, a tax collector. And then we see these words that don't normally go together. Well, not in my perception or experience anyway. It's that we've got this description of Zacchaeus as being very rich and very wealthy, and then it says, but he could not. They don't normally go together. Usually riches and wealth means that you can do whatever it is you want to do, that you can buy, you can acquire, you can position, you can do whatever you want. Because you've got wealth, then you can. But in this situation, despite Zacchaeus's wealth and being very rich, he could not. The reality is, we all know that money can't do everything. And as my wife would say, just because you got money doesn't mean you have fashion sense. Just because you have, for some people, I'm not saying it's a broad, well, excuse us for just a minute. I just got to get my story right here. Just because you have money doesn't, money does not always equal taste. I stand corrected. Thank you, sweetheart. Sorry, I was wrong. You're right. You can listen to the podcast and keep playing that over and over and over and over again. But money does not always equal happiness. I mean, it's all of that. Money doesn't always enable us to do everything that we possibly desire. Zacchaeus could not see Jesus because the crowd was pressing in around him. That there were just so many people around hearing that Jesus was passing that way. The crowd was pressing in and he could not see Jesus. There wasn't a way. Well, why couldn't he actually see Jesus? He couldn't see Jesus because he was short of stature, that he was short. He wasn't tall enough. And in scripture, and in this particular time of day, this period of time, is that if you were short, it means that you were less than 5 foot tall. So that, I mean, even in our day and age, that's short. I mean, you know, like we have a number of very tall people here that maybe, you know, sort of you could be described as a heightist, that, you know, like, you know, the taller you are, the better you are, whatever. But like the reality is that this guy was so short that he couldn't see. People were pressing in around him. And so he thinks to himself, I've got to do something about this. I've got to do something about this. And isn't it amazing what people will do to actually get to see their heroes or their person that they want to see? I mean, when a particular pop star comes into town, it's amazing what people, they will camp out, they will stalk them, the paparazzi will be, do all sorts of crazy things so they can get a glimpse of their hero or the person, and then there's all the screaming and the hysteria that goes with it. People just do crazy things. I remember when we were at uni, and word on the street was that Elle Macpherson had come into town to launch a new product range. And this is in like the early 90s. Okay, so I was very young and just a silly boy, so forgive the story, but all us lads went, we should go and see Elle Macpherson. Like that's a worthwhile cause. That's something. She was releasing a new product line and we thought we should be there. We should support Elle Macpherson in this. And so we kind of went to Meijer at the launch and during our break at uni, and we went to Meijer and we found out that it was an invite-only kind of thing, quite exclusive, so we couldn't get in. So we kind of turned to each other and we said, well, we're here. We've got to try something. So I don't know how we ended up. We ended up like down the stairwell and we ended walking. We sort of like thought, I think this might be the floor. So we literally opened the emergency exit door and stood. And then when we looked up, we were sort of to the right of stage. Elle Macpherson was sitting on the stage and they were launching the product range. And us guys, we stood there and I think the look on our faces probably told the whole story, that we were just mortified and horrified that we'd kind of found ourselves in this position. But it was quite funny because Elle Macpherson looked over and smiled at us and then we just ran. I was like, let's get out of here before the security comes and gets us. But we did it anyway. But it was just, it's hilarious what people will do when they want to see somebody or try to get to see One Direction or something like that. Why you would bother, I don't know. But Zacchaeus kind of, he has wealth, but yet he hears that Jesus is passing through, and despite his social status and standing in society, he's got this yearning, this desire. There's got to be more to life. There's got to be something more than what I'm experiencing. I've pretty much got everything, but there's got to be more. And I've heard this about this Jesus guy, but I'm short and I can't see anything because everybody's around. I mean, have you ever been at like a concert or at the movies and some really tall person comes and sits in front of you and their head's right in the middle of the screen or right in the middle? It's like you just want to push them out the way and just like so frustrating. No offense to all the tall people in here. I'm sorry, John. John has just shrunk down his seat like about 6 inches. He's sliding down so the people behind can actually see. Because nobody's sitting behind you, mate, so you're fine. But it's so frustrating. And Zacchaeus is there like, no, I've got to see this Jesus guy. I've got to try to see him. So he thinks, what am I going to do? So again, like in this day and age, men didn't run. And especially wealthy men didn't run. But this guy goes, I've got to see Jesus. So he responds to that inner urge and desire to see Jesus. And he starts to run. Where does he run? He looks up and he sees that tree. That tree down there. I'm going to that tree. So he starts running towards that tree. Jesus is off down the yonder. He can see the crowd that's forming and coming in the direction. So he runs towards that tree. He gets to the tree. Now, it's a sycamore tree. I've got a couple of pictures of sycamore trees up here, and these ones are several hundred years old. So this is in Jericho. This is a sycamore tree from Jericho, and the next one is as well, which is even older. And he runs towards that tree. And he gets and he's going, I've got to see Jesus. So here's a wealthy man. When was the last time you ever saw a wealthy man climbing a tree? Just on the side of the road somewhere. You just don't see it. And that's how weird and strange and bizarre it would have been. For all the Christians in this place, for those of you that have a relationship and you call Compass Church home, when was the last time you climbed a tree to see Jesus? When was the last time you got really desperate and went, no, I want more of God in my life. I want to see Jesus. I want to have that encounter with Jesus. When was the last time you came to church with such an expectation? You go, you know what? I'm coming expecting something from God because God responds to our level of expectation. And if you expect nothing, you'll get nothing. So if you don't want to get anything from God, keep expecting nothing because you'll get what you're expecting. But when you expect something from God, God meets you in that level of expectation. When was the last time you climbed a tree? Sounds weird. When was the last time you were that desperate that you came to the pre-service prayer meeting at 9:30? Oh, but Phil, man, that means I've got to get out of bed and extra 30 minutes early. That's a bit hard. No, get over yourself and get excited and let's get expectant for what God wants to do. So back to Zacchaeus. So here's this guy. He gets to the sycamore tree and he goes, could you imagine he's standing at the base of the tree? He's less than 5 foot tall. So maybe he's got to jump a few times to grab a branch so he can climb up. He walks around the tree going, how do I climb this thing? But I've got to get up there. Maybe there were some kids already up the tree saying, what are you doing, mate? Rack off. And Zacchaeus doesn't care. Maybe he'd spent his whole life getting teased and ridiculed. Little Zach paid out. Isn't it amazing sometimes with people, the things that you can't control can actually be a source of motivation to prove people wrong? How many things in our life can't we control? There's so many things. You can't control how tall or short you are. I mean, how you were maybe fed as a child and things may affect your development. But there are certain things, your genetics, the weather. We can't control the weather. Can't control who your parents are or aren't. Can't choose family. Unless you're in a church. Choose church family. But there's certain things that you can't control, things that happen to you. Some of people's actions or inactions, you can't control that. But what you can control is how you're going to respond and how they're going to shape and form your future. And Zacchaeus is this little guy. He wasn't going to let the fact that he was super short stand in the way of him seeing Jesus. So he's there and he's jumping up. He's trying to climb the tree. Eventually he gets hold of a branch and he pulls himself up and he's sitting on a branch and he positions himself, makes himself comfortable. And as I began to read this, I'm thinking, wow, here's this wealthy guy, short of stature, couldn't see Jesus. He runs, climbs a tree, and he's sitting in a tree, and he can see Jesus starting to make his way towards where he is sitting in this tree. And then I started to think about that tree. Who planted that tree? Who put the tree there? I mean, was it the Jericho City Council that kind of went out and said, we need a tree there, and town planning meeting, and 6 months later, they decided to put a tree there and put some stakes alongside of it, and they had somebody come out that, I don't know, did somebody buy a seedling and put it there? I mean, it's a main thoroughfare, and somebody had to protect it. Somebody had to look after that tree. Who put that tree there? I mean, did the person who planted it, or as it was growing, did somebody think to themselves, one day, this tree is actually going to accommodate and allow a very wealthy tax collector, chief tax collector, to come and sit in its branches so that they can see the Messiah coming down the road? Do you think they thought that? I doubt it. But here's this tree. That tree is there, and Zacchaeus is sitting in that tree. Who put the tree there? I don't know. Have to ask God when we're in heaven with him. And so who planted that tree? That's a cool tree. But then it started to make me think, that tree provides shade, provided branches for Zacchaeus to sit in. It's a type of fig tree, so maybe this particular tree produced figs that could be eaten, so it produced fruit. Maybe birds nested in that tree. I don't know who planted that tree. But 7 years ago, a group of people decided that we should plant this tree. That this church should be planted 7 years ago on October the 7th, 2007. A group of people decided that, you know what? Let's plant this tree. Who knows what it's going to be? Who knows that one day somebody would be sitting at the back of the church in the back row and they're going to hear about the love and life that only Jesus Christ can give, and can he transform my life from where it is to something better? And the answer to all of that is yes, and their life's transformed. Did we ever foresee that happening? No, because we started with an LD-purchased keyboard, battery-operated keyboard. And it was so tinny and horrible, and it was twangy, and we used to stand in what you would try to call worship times, and you would try to worship God with this ding, 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 ding. Man. And I was like, God, is this really a church? This ain't a tree. Seriously, what is this? And we had people like Michael and Holly and Ben, and then Briley came later, and Nat, myself, and Joe Breen, and another couple that we went, wow. And then there was Paul Porter, and there was Josephine, and there was Simone, was actually who's here today. Great to see Simone and Joey here. And Simone was in our early days when we actually finally got a proper keyboard and we actually could have proper music and worship leading and stuff. And we had Andrew Kinnersley was in the house with us. And then when we started the church, there's a group of people that decided to plant that tree 7 years ago, where we went, wow, what's it going to become? We had no idea what it's going to become. And we still don't have any idea what it's going to become. That's up to God. That's his business. But we pray that it would be a church, a place like this sycamore tree, that's a place of shade, a place of shelter where people can come and sit in the branches and maybe get a fresh perspective on life and actually be able to see. Zacchaeus was the shortest guy floating around. He had to climb up into a tree. This is really deep, but the shortest guy who climbs up onto the branches is taller than the tallest guy that's on the ground. Are you with me? And that's what church is meant to be. Church is supposed to be a place where you come, you have an encounter with the creator of the universe, and he starts to open your eyes to a new and living way, the possibilities and the opportunities that are before you that you could never see before because you're pressed in by the crowd and by life circumstances and situations and things you have no control over. But God wants to take you out of that, and he wants to place you into a tree so you can get a fresh perspective on life. That's what this tree is. Hopefully, and I believe it is, producing good fruit. I decided I'm going to have fun this morning. I just went, you know, I'm actually going to have fun at church today because we've worked too flipping hard for 7 years not to have fun. So if you're not having fun this morning, I'm having fun for you. And if you want to jump on board my fun wagon, feel free, because like this is really cool. I just see who planted that tree. And now I'm asking myself, God, you've planted this tree for this community for such a time as this. And I see people in this room that are alive today only but by the grace of God, because there was a group of people that decided to be obedient to him and plant this tree. There are people here that just are different people today than they were 12 months ago. Got a text message during the week and somebody said to me, it made me cry. Somebody just said, Phil, your words reverberate in my mind. It's not all about you. And so going from a quiet, timid person to somebody that loves people and wants to serve people 12 months later. How good is God? That's a pretty cool tree. I'm biased because I love this place and I love our family. I love the people here. But 7 years ago, a group of people decided to plant a tree. Let's get back to Zacchaeus. I've digressed. Let's wrap this up because it's 11:30. But Zacchaeus is up in this tree. He's up in the sycamore tree and he's sitting there. And then all of a sudden, the crowd starts to build and starts to come his way. And he peers through a few of the leaves and the branches, and he can see what he thinks is maybe the disciples. It's almost like they're bodyguards around Jesus, trying to make a way for Jesus to get through, because he's only passing through. And as this group of people that's milling around Jesus and wanting to talk to Jesus, as it's getting closer and closer, I can't imagine what Zacchaeus is thinking. He's up there and his heart rate is starting to build up. It's like, here he comes, this guy. I've heard about this guy. There's something about this guy. And his heart rate's going, and then he's thinking to himself, wow, if only I could talk to him. Like, but I'm up a tree. How can I talk to Jesus if I'm up at the tree? He won't even notice me. He doesn't even know I'm up here. And they get closer and closer. And then it gets to the point where he's right near Zacchaeus. And then Zacchaeus nearly falls out of the tree because Jesus is looking right at him. And the first thing that goes through Zacchaeus' mind is like, oh no, what have they told him? What have they told Jesus about me? They told him all the bad things I've done and the kind of person I am and, oh no. And then, just as he's about to fall out of the tree, Jesus looks up at him and says, yo, Zacchaeus. And then Zacchaeus straight away just thinks, they have told him about me. How does he know my name? They probably told Jesus, look out for that Zacchaeus guy. He's dodgy. He's bad. Don't have anything to do with him. He's just one of those sinners. And Jesus, like, looks at this guy and says, Zacchaeus, dude, get out of the tree. Come on down. Come down. I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus has just had his mind blown. He's going, what do you want to come to my house? And I'm this bad and I've done all of these sort of things. But Jesus, he's still stuck on, how did he know my name? Just for your information, that's just another example. And illustrating to us the deity of Jesus Christ. He was called a prophet and he was called a teacher, all those things. But Jesus being fully man, fully God, he knows all things. So it wasn't hard for Jesus. Jesus knew his name. Jesus knew exactly who he was and what he was into and the things he did. And Jesus looks at him and just giving us, illustrating his deity and that he is God, and says, Zacchaeus, calls him by name. He knows his name, like in Andrew's song. The cool thing is God knows your name. God knows your name. He knows you personally. He knows all of the things that you've done, like he knew exactly what Zacchaeus was into, and he loves you anyway. There's nothing you can do that can separate you from the love of God. And so Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. And Zacchaeus comes down the tree, and Zacchaeus welcomes him gladly. You know, Zacchaeus isn't searching out for Jesus' grace. He's the receiver of God's grace. He's responding to the grace and the goodness that Jesus is offering him. Notice Zacchaeus didn't yell out, hey, Jesus, can I hang out with you? No, Jesus is initiating the conversation. Jesus is saying to you today, hey, I want to come and hang out with you. He calls you by name today and he says, hey, I want to come and hang out with you. I know what you've done. I know what you were thinking about this week. I know what you looked at on the screen this week. I know what you came out of your mouth this week. I know what you did with your finance. I know what you did in your relationships this week. But guess what? I still love you. And I want to come and hang out with you. For today, salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come to this house. In closing, I just want to talk about three trees. Maybe the first tree is your own tree, the tree that you've built. To try and get a perspective and a view on life. And you've gone about doing certain things and you're still kind of within you. You've got this feeling, this thought, this idea, there's got to be more. I've got this, I've done that, I've been there, I've built my own tree. But there's still that kind of void, that space, as the great evangelist Billy Graham would put it, that within us, that God has put this God-shaped space and shape in our lives that only can be filled in having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The second tree that I've already touched on this morning is the tree, our church. And I want to celebrate our church this morning. I want to celebrate you guys. I want to celebrate what God has done. I want to thank God for all that he's done this morning. Because I see us as like a tree that we're here planted for such a time as this to bring shade, to bring a place of shelter, so people can come and experience salvation and healing and wholeness, be part of a family, get a fresh and new perspective on life. And the third tree that I want to talk about is the last one that's going to be up on the screen, that one. That tree. That tree. Because this morning,
You might say, Phil, I'm not a very good climber. Phil, I'm not really into climbing trees. Are you telling me that I have to go outside and climb a tree and wait for Jesus to pass by? No, I'm not saying that. Because in Galatians 3 it says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. See, the cool thing is we don't have to climb a tree, church. The truth is that Jesus climbed a tree for us. That he climbed up onto the cross, which is also called the tree. And he gave his life for you and for me. So we don't have to climb. We don't have to strive. We don't have to work. It's a free gift that he gives us. A gift of salvation, a gift of grace, a gift of mercy, a gift of life, a gift of a new beginning, a gift of a new start, a gift of new opportunities, a gift of a life filled with possibility and potential. A gift that even when stuff and life gets hard, that he will show and prove himself faithful, and he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me and what I did upon the cross. And we remembered that at communion this morning. The gift of Jesus Christ's life. You don't have to climb a tree because Jesus Christ has done it for us. He climbed up on that tree and he gave his life and he looked out upon that point from that vantage point. He looks out across the centuries and looked down through the corridors of history and the corridors of time, and he could see you and he says, hey, you don't have to climb a tree. I've climbed it for you. And now I'm calling out to you. Now I'm offering you life. Now I'm offering you forgiveness. Now I'm actually offering you. What an incredible God. And that's what I want to celebrate this morning. In closing, the incredible gift of life that God has given us. I don't deserve his grace. I don't deserve to be as blessed as I am. Nothing I have done warrants the life that I live. All that I have accomplished, he has done for me. And today we want to celebrate that. And this morning, I don't know where you're at with the God thing. And just if I could ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. We've talked about that tree. The tree out of our message this morning in Luke was important to Zacchaeus because it gave him the opportunity to meet Jesus. But the most important tree in history is the tree that Jesus Christ hung upon. And Jesus willingly went up onto that tree so we don't have to climb one. And when he died, he took upon himself all of our wrongdoing, all of our shortcomings, all of our weaknesses, our mistakes, our failures. And he paid the price. And he says, it is finished. When we do something wrong, there's usually a penalty. Especially when we get caught. There's a fine to be paid or there's time to be done. And so all of those mistakes and wrongdoings in our lives, and we've all got them, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That the penalty for that sin and wrongdoing is separation from God. And so Jesus paid the price for all of that, for you and for me and for all mankind, so we could come back into right relationship with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this morning, the most important tree that's ever been a part of history is the cross, is the tree that Jesus Christ hung upon. If you've never asked God for forgiveness, if you don't have a personal relationship with God through what Jesus Christ did upon the cross, then today salvation has come to this house for you. I can't offer it to you. God offers it to you. If you say, yeah, Phil, I want to receive that kind of forgiveness. I want to have that kind of a fresh start. I want a new beginning. I'm sick of climbing my own tree. There's been some good stuff in it, but it still leaves me kind of empty. And today I just want to offer you salvation through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died upon the cross and that he rose again, that he will forgive you of all your sin. He'll come and he will be your Savior, your Lord, your best friend. So many people in this place have done that over the years. And there's no greater decision that you can make. It's the best decision you could ever make with your life. I'm not asking you to become religious. I'm not asking you to even join this church. I'm asking you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If there's anyone here this morning, just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around. It's just me, you, and God watching over us and with us. If that's you, if you want to respond this morning, say, yeah, Phil, I want that kind of life. I want to experience that kind of forgiveness and all that God has for my life. If that's you this morning, can I just ask that you raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you after this service is done. If you just raise your hand now and say, yeah, Phil, that's me. As I just look across, is there anyone here? Say, Phil, that's me. Yep. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Is there somebody else this morning? Say, Phil, that's me. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Awesome. Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us. We just want to celebrate you this morning and just want to say thank you for your faithfulness and goodness to Compass Church over 7 years. Lord God, we look forward to the future. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you for all that you're doing right now. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.